It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss. Lightning Thursday is brought to you by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.
Lightning radio time here on the Q. The lightning is in the on the streets. It is in your mailboxes. And this morning, it is on the radio. Editor and publisher Bill Moss with us this morning. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to Lightning Thursday, Lightning Radio.
Good morning. Happy to be back for Lightning Radio with this week's news.
All right. Let's get right to it, Bill. We've got a lot to talk about. The lightning is chock full again. Let's start with the front page here. Very exciting news over the last couple of weeks. It seemed like it's one of those hurry up and wait things. We've been talking about it, thinking something may happen for a long time, wondering about it. And it looks like some of the dominoes are finally starting to fall for the Acosta Trail.
A big domino, exactly right. That's the way of putting it. It is, aside from organizing 8 or 9 years ago, probably the most significant substantive concrete development in this story that we have seen in that time. Happened to be out of town at a conference down in the middle part of the state Thursday night about 6 o'clock, and I got a news tip on my phone that said the biggest story of the year, maybe of the decade. And there's been lots of big stories. But if we look back maybe 10 to 20 years from now, we might very well say on that Thursday when the North Carolina Transportation Board voted to grant a $6.4 million grant to Conserving Carolina, who's the applicant, really on behalf of, you might say everyone, but on behalf of the Friends of the Acosta Trail, Henderson County, Hendersonville, Laurel Park, Brevard, and all the communities in between, Horseshoe, Etowah, and everywhere that this rail corridor runs. And, of course, what we're talking about is the abandoned since 2002 rail corridor from Hendersonville to Brevard. It's, I think, right at 19 miles. 12 miles in Henderson County, 7 in Transylvania County. And the effort is to convert that to what would most likely be probably a 10-foot-wide paved greenway through a federal law that's been in place a long time and has created around 31,000 miles, I think it is, of greenway across the country, convert that into a rail, what's called rail banket, and turn it into a greenway that the owner of the track, Watco, who operates railroads in western North Carolina that it bought from Norfolk Southern, that Watco and operates them as Blue Ridge Southern Railroad, could, if it found the need, if Transylvania County, who always says they want to do this, got some kind of gigantic plant with lots of jobs that needed freight cargo service, then they could retake it. But that's just one factor that I mentioned on behalf of Transylvania.
So ultimately what we're talking about here is with Conserving Carolina, we're looking at purchasing this. It's called, what they're looking at is something, what you just said, which is called rail banking. So it's not totally getting rid of the railroad track, so it's never there again. It's rail banking so that if they wanted to take it back, they could at some point.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, it probably would remain
exactly
a greenway for everyone's lifetime. But we just put that in because the railroad companies were the ones, I would say, that negotiated that. And communities like Brevard and Transylvania County that say, you know, we've always, and later in the story we talk about that, we've considered this meaning the railroad track, not meaning the greenway, that we've considered this rail service potentially a part of our economic development strategy. That comes from the chairman of the Transylvania County Commission himself, Mike Hawkins, in a statement they made.
So what we're talking about here for people who don't know what this is or a rails to trail type thing is, we're talking something much like the Swamp Rabbit Trail that goes from Travelers, it starts up in Travelers Rest, or the Virginia Creeper up in Abingdon, Virginia, those types of things. That's what we're talking about, and a crazy tourism magnet.
Oh, absolutely. All of those things and more. I mean, we've been talking since even before, but we talked a lot around last April 1st. That is the date that the Henderson County Board of Commissioners adopted something that was really important, and this would not have happened without it, and that's called the Greenway Master Plan.
Uh-huh.
The Greenway Master Plan in development for roughly a year and a half. They finished around the fall of 2018. They got it to the commission. The commission unanimously, that's key, unanimously adopted it, endorsed it, said this is great. And the master plan, of course, this has roughly one 20-mile leg of what could be around a 40, 45-mile around the county loop.
Yep.
With some spurs that would go to some destinations such as the BRCC and the park at Flat Rock, with extensions of the Ocklawaha Greenway North, Ocklawaha Greenway South, with some possible paths along Mud Creek and the French Broad River, possibly 280. We've talked about it in great detail. You can read past stories in the Lightning and see maps in the Lightning that show all this. But what's critical about that is that I would say a couple of things. I mean, that if you talk about all the other legs of a county-wide loop, let's say, that whole 45-mile circle, that necessarily, it would have to be it's going to be piecemeal almost mile by mile.
Uh-huh.
Right-of-way negotiation, right-of-way acquisition, get some grants, get some construction money. What's really critical about this is, although it is a piece of the whole, it could stand alone, as you started out saying, as a great tourism magnet, and there's not this long, drawn-out process.
Right.
How do we get permission to get the right-of-way?
Exactly.
If that sale can close, and I'm talking about the sale of the rail corridor from Watco to Conserving Carolina, who I think will be, at that point, the legal buyer and legal owner of it, and then we'll see what happens next
right.
as far as functionally how it all works, but then we're on our way to doing this one. Where does it start? Does it start in Hendersonville? Does it start in Brevard? Does it start in both? And they drive a golden spike in the ground where it meets,
right.
you know, in the year 2028? We don't know. We don't know these things. What will it cost? I think that the evaluation and study of this by a consultant in 2012, I believe it was, I think had the price at something like $12 million. Just suffice it to say, you might assume $1 million. I'm just saying this. I have no knowledge, but we've seen some other greenways like Ocklawaha. Again, there they did, I think, have to buy some land or at least negotiate. It would be roughly $1 million a mile, say. But are there ways? There's a lot of options for raising money.
Sure. And, of course, the appraisal is the next step, which is what you're saying right here in the headline. Next step for Acusta Trail is appraisal and acquisition talks.
Exactly right. That is going to be underway, certainly in terms of retaining an appraiser or more than one appraiser. As Chris Burns told the Lightning, it's fairly complicated. It's not through vacant land. It's partly through vacant land. It's through commercial developed land. It's through pretty densely developed residential neighborhoods. It's through open land. It's over, and it goes through quite a bit of farmland.
Well, and to even make more of a point about what you were talking about the Greenway, on behalf of the TDA, we certainly know that all the studies show that once you get to 9 continuous miles of Greenway, that's when you start to really heavily affect tourism. So this would give us about 11 miles just in Henderson County alone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the quickest way to get to that 9 continuous miles this Acusta
yeah.
Trail. That's the point you were making.
Yeah, that, and I tell you, another amazing thing about this route is how, considering where we are, it's about, if you looked countywide and tried to put together 20 miles of Greenway, you couldn't get a flatter.
Right.
You couldn't get a flatter 20-mile
yeah.
route than this route. I've walked it. I've walked the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I've walked it with GPS, and we would get to the end of the day and look at the total amount of ascent, total amount of climbing. And usually that amount, if you go on a 20-mile bike ride around here, you're probably going to be at least at 3,000, and depending on where you go, you could be at 4,000 feet of climbing. This is in the low hundreds. The total climbing is not very much. So what I just say that in terms of this would be suitable for it's obviously not just bicycles, but obviously great for walking, but it would be suitable for every level of bicycle rider,
yeah.
for one thing.
Yeah, very friendly, very friendly.
Very bicycle friendly, and scenic, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at some of the nice areas it goes through, it's pastoral farm land, it's crossing the French Broad River, it's going and seeing some nice neighborhoods. It would be an interesting thing to get.
Well, and once again, one of the things that the Lightning is famous for, on page 26, you've got this Acosta Trail timeline right here that starts from, 1894.
Yep.
And comes all the way to today.
We start with the Brevard Railway, Telegraph, and Telephone Company actually building the line from Hendersonville to Lake Toxaway. And then we note in the second bullet, 1939, Acosta Corp. opens a paper mill on the rail line at the Davison River. And listen to this figure. And this is one reason why up until 2002, people, as you can imagine, in that community really think of the rail as an important part of their economy. Acosta employing at its peak 3,500 people. So that. And that was in recent times that it was still operating. I think it ended in 2002. It was shipping a lot of that. We always called it Bible paper, or cigarette paper. It was highly specialized, and apparently they had lots and lots of customers. But then when Acosta closed, the train no longer had a reason to run to Brevard. Going on through when the Congress, in 1968, when Congress enacts the National Trail Systems Act that sets up this rail banking, and thus 31,000 miles of track have been rail banked, and on and on. 1993, Henderson County Comprehensive Plan mentions greenways, I think, for the first time.
Interesting. So, and that's just, we're only on the first story of the Lightning. We've got plenty more Lightning stories to hit right here. Coming up, we'll talk about Flat Rock Village and what's going on there. That's all coming up on Lightning Thursdays with Bill Boss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Fletcher Park Inn is the best-kept retirement secret in Henderson County. Make plans now to come for your tour and complimentary lunch at the only Christian independent retirement community in the area that offers a daily lunch buffet with meat and vegetarian and vegan options. Don't miss our summer special. Sign up before Labor Day and your first month is totally free. Come and see our spacious remodeled apartments available now. Call Lisa for details. 209-6935. This is Linda McIntyre, director at Fletcher Park Inn, inviting you to visit today.
In business, relationships matter and trust must be earned. Duraline Imaging wants a chance to earn your trust and your business. Duraline is your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business. Give them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301. Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of mobile home supplies. Whether you need doors, windows, plumbing, or skirting, Lewis Williams & Sons has anything you need for your mobile home. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 till noon. Lewis Williams & Sons, 692-8216, or online at lewiswilliams.com.
This is Josh Duncan, reminding you that Rhythm and Brews is back. Thursday, August the 15th. This month's show features the Appalachicana sounds of Teleco at 5:30, followed by the progressive and traditional bluegrass sounds of Fireside Collective at 7:30. This free event features a hands-on kid zone, local food vendors, and a great selection of local craft beer, cider, and wine. We'll see you Thursday, August the 15th at 5:30 at Rhythm and Brews, Hendersonville's best outdoor concert series.
That's right. Rhythm and Brews back tonight in downtown Hendersonville. And what else is back is Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, let's go from the Acosta Trail over to Flat Rock. Your headline right here on the front page, once sedate village, becomes more contentious. What's happening over in Flat Rock, Bill?
Well, a lot. And a lot has been happening over in Flat Rock for quite some time, probably 2.5 2.5 years or more, and in the past, certainly the past year and a half, 2 years, a lot of focus, a lot of council public hearings, a lot of comment and anguish over the Highland Lake Road widening project. And that was really kind of put to rest, at least as far as the council vote in back in July, I think, of 2018, I think it was. But it still it lives to fight or be fought over another day and another week and another month as we're in the election for Flat Rock Village Council seats. And
right.
We basically have what might be regarded as a referendum, a plebiscite on this question with three council seats, all of which have council members or candidates who have been in favor, have either voted for or in favor of the road improvement project, and they have a candidate that is pretty much aligned in their position with questioning it, with questioning the need for it, and possibly would like to retreat from it or drop it altogether. And that group, you might say, is pretty much aligned with this group that the former councilwoman and now candidate Ann Coletta formed along with her husband, called Cultural Landscape Group Flat Rock. And that group has still a lot of questions, and those came up or those were disseminated to all the voters and residents of Flat Rock in the form of a flyer, and that mailer still questioned, oh, look, the road is coming, and the survey flags show things that will, trees that will be cut down, or where it's going to go, how it will affect the entrance to Highland Golf Villas. And it questioned how much is Flat Rock really going to have to pay for the sidewalks and for the greenways and so on and so forth. And it, so in a meeting, and why this came to light in so much was in the meeting last Thursday, a week ago, the village council, various village council, I think at least four village council members made specific comments or really responses to some points that were made in the mailer. They said, one of them, Ginger Brown, noted that, well, you say here we don't know the cost. And she said, well, as a matter of fact, we do know the cost, and we also know how much that Flat Rock will get because the NCDOT is taking some right-of-way from Flat Rock. And it had a net, her numbers at this point had a net favorable dollars to the village that the greenway, that their share of the greenway and sidewalks, which should be 20% under NCDOT policy, that those amounts are less than what the Village of Flat Rock will get for right-of-way and for what's just generally been negotiated and called impact on the park. So that was one of them. Another couple points that were made in the flyer suggested that the next big projects that the Village of Flat Rock, let's say, was considered, they didn't say the village and the state of North Carolina was going to do, but that there would possibly be some big widening projects on Irkwood and on West Blue Ridge Road that would, they implied, would be a similar widening project to Highland Lake. So they responded. In fact, the council took action, said, no, those are not our priorities. We're not planning on doing either one of those, or we're not going to endorse either one of those widening projects.
And is correct me if I'm wrong, some of this is a semantics thing as well, because the Cultural Landscape Committee is talking about the Highland Lake Road widening project, but it's not really a widening project, right?
It's much less of a widening project than it used to be. And there are parts of it that will be a little bit wider.
Right.
It's going to be straightened out in parts as well. And that's why you can see if you drive on it, and more people than ever do because of the detour, you can see where through part of the park, you could straighten it out, and it seems like it'd be an easier road to drive on if they did that. It's a little bit widened, I think, it's much more narrow than the first version that came out with.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting. I have a feeling you're going to stay on this story.
We will continue to, because it's really, it'll probably last, depending on the election, it could get even bigger before it goes away. Because if these candidates aligned with the Cultural Landscape Group win a majority on the council, then you've got a situation where they may say, we vote for the NCDOT not to move ahead at all.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this also, for the first time ever, we actually will have an election process for Flat Rock Village. We have people actually running against one another for the seats.
As far as I know, it's the first we've seen a contested mayor's race 4 years ago. And we're not going to have a contested mayor's race this time, but I think there's never been a time in the history of the village of Flat Rock, which goes back 25, 30 years, where you've had three contested seats. Yeah. I can't remember even one contested seat, but there may have been sometime before my time a contested village council seat, but there is now.
All right.
All three of them that are up are contested.
Let's touch on a few other things in this week's Lightning. Let's stay on politics. Four Seasons Politics on page 5. Supporter defends Hawkins as military hero, model citizen.
Yeah, we wanted to come back at this because it continues. It actually does continue to come up in every meeting where there's an immigration attorney, George Pappas, practices here and has his office here in Hendersonville and has cases all over Western North Carolina, where he made some pretty tough remarks about two county commissioners, the chair Grady Hawkins and Rebecca McCall, and said that because of their comments on 287G and illegal immigration, they were not upholding the Constitution. And that just was too much for a fellow by the name of Dick Cranker, who stood up at the meeting last week, and we didn't get around to that. We got it in this week's issue because we wanted to get exactly what Mr. Cranker said. We thought it was important. He just made it was about a 3-minute defense of Grady Hawkins and Grady Hawkins' military career and his Air Force flying career and his public service. So Dick Cranker is he's a first-generation American himself and a U.S. Navy veteran. He's a friend of Grady Hawkins through the Round Table, which is that group of conservative retired military officers. So you can read all that. We quote directly from Dick Cranker's response to George Pappas' demand that Grady Hawkins and Rebecca McCall resign from the county commission. I don't think they're going to do it.
Interesting. Let's get to city politics now. The city council is going to resume their one-on-one feedback sessions.
This will be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm just noticing, you know what's important about this? It makes us go out the door that we came in. If you look at the first one on September 10,
yep.
At the Dry Falls Brewing Company, 425 yep. Canoga Road with Councilman Jeff Miller. You know why that seems important?
Why is that?
In this context, that would be basically near the trailhead.
The starting point of the Acoustic Trail.
The trailhead of Acoustic Trail.
Yep.
And one thing that we didn't really even talk about is development along the Acoustic Trail, whether it's the Appalachian Coffee Company.
Right on it. Yep.
And more to come of juiceries or smoothie places or microbreweries or little cafes, coffee shops or whatever. So that just kind of jumped out at me when I noticed that.
Yeah.
Then to September 17th, Hendersonville Church of Christ, that one at 1975 Haywood Road. That one is with Mayor Pro Tem Ron Stevens. September 23 at St. Paul's Tabernacle Church, 813 6th Avenue West with Councilman Jerry Smith. October 1st, Henderson County Boys and Girls Club with Mayor Vogue. And October 15th, Blue Ridge Health out on 2579 Chimney Rock Road, hosted by Councilman Steve Carricker.
And keep you tuned here to the queue. In a couple of weeks, we'll have the mayor and John Connett, city manager, in to WTZQ to talk about those sessions coming up.
Yeah, and there's usually, you mentioned John Connett, which is important. There's usually a staff member or two that's there. They might have a question about water or sewer or or roads or whatever that the staff would be better able to answer.
Yep. Let's have a little fun before we finish our Lightning Thursday, Lightning Radio today. The Center for Arts and Inspiration on Main Street, downtown Hendersonville, the head of that, Jenny Lenders, is bringing her show Menopause, the musical, a concert version of it. Matter of fact, it opens today, if I recall.
It does. Opens in just a little while from now. At about the matinee is today, and then Friday and Saturday night, we show Jeannie Lenders here, who's she has an idea every minute. So now they have a coffee shop. They're opening a beer and wine bar. They have that story time. They have classes. They have art. This one is really significant, as you were saying a while ago off the air, is that this is her show. She is the writer, producer, originator, creator of Menopause the Musical, which
has played all over the world.
Which they say has been seen by 14 million women and 3 men. No. No, it's been seen by 14 million theater patrons around the world. It should be interesting and fun. I mean, as the Lightning reports here, the women lament or crack wise about hot flashes, night sweats, mood swings, wrinkles, not enough sex, too much sex, chocolate binges, and a whole lot more, while belting out a song list that reads like the soundtrack of the baby boomer generation. Listen to these. You'll love all these. They're on y'all's playlist, for sure. Chain of Fools, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, Staying Alive, The Lion Sleeps at Night, Heat Wave, Wishing and Hoping, The Great Pretender, I Got You, Babe, YMCA, and more. That's a song list.
That's right. And just three shows, today, tomorrow, and Saturday.
That's the number.
All right. We want to say congratulations to Tom Orr. He has been it's been announced that he will be the Grand Marshal of the King Apple Parade for the Apple Festival this year.
Speaking of theater, he directed many, many, many senior plays at Hendersonville High School as a theater teacher and I think English teacher. As a theater and English teacher of Hendersonville High School, and has put together some pretty neat kind of history plays that have been staged at the historic courthouse, and now is the recipient of that well-deserved honor of riding in the parade as the Grand Marshal.
And that'll be 2:30 on Labor Day Monday, the final act of the Apple Festival.
So it is the culmination of that Apple Festival.
Bill, we've just touched on a few of the stories. There's plenty, plenty more local news in your Hendersonville Lightning, which is on the streets and in the mailboxes today. Tell folks where they can get their copy of the Lightning.
By visiting any of the Lightning Orange racks all around the county, or the Lightning partners such as coffee shops and a supermarket like Publix, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on what we now have is a very great all-access deal that people are participating in, which is get the Lightning in your home and get all access to HendersonvilleLightning.com. And do that by clicking on that red tab that says subscribe, and that will walk you through how to join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan at 698-0407, or best of all, by coming to see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This and other episodes of Lightning Thursday are available via podcast at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday. Lightning Thursday is brought to you weekly by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best kept retirement secret.